welcome to the Coastline Covenant Podcast, first episode of 2024. Thank you for listening, and I hope you had a great new year and a great holiday season. We are starting off the year with a brand new teaching series here at Coastline. We're calling it Surviving the South Bay, and we're going to be looking at some of the significant sins and strongholds that exist uniquely in our community. So today I talk with Sean about the thought process behind this sermon series, some of the work that he's been doing to culturally exegete our area and then bring it to the people in sermons. And then we do something really fun called the Locals Only Lightning Round. It's a set of 11 questions I'm asking all of the upcoming guests on the podcast. And speaking of upcoming guests, for the next several weeks, I am interviewing pastors from different churches around the South Bay. We have pastors from the River Church of the South Bay, Kings Harbor, Calvary Chapel, Palos Verdes, Journey of Faith, and Remembrance Community Church. So I'm really excited for you to hear different voices, and Sean and I talk all about that. I'm going to stop talking because this is a great episode where we really get into a lot of things about the sermon series. We are excited for everything that God is going to do this year in our church, and we will see you next week and every single week after that. Welcome, first Coastline Covenant Podcast of 2024.
Happy New Year.
Happy
Hunter.
New Year. Last year, you and Nikki and I did a little bit. We recorded the episode before the New Year, and you're like, what did you do on New Year's? And I was like, Sassy got attacked by a coyote.
Remember that?
Yeah. And
was that a year ago?
That was a year ago. And I'll drop the curtain now. We are not recording this in 2024. It is still 2023.
December 7th.
Yeah, it's early, actually. We're really hedging our bets and saying we're going to all be around then.
We really believe the rapture isn't happening before then.
Wow. I didn't think it was going to be that type of podcast, but now it is.
Yeah, right.
We're not talking about surviving the South Bay. We're talking about surviving the apocalypse. And Sean is here to give you his doomsday prepper tips.
This is how you actually can jar the best fruits and vegetables to keep them through.
Well, I know that was your New Year's resolution to finally finish that.
The opening
that.
Of the seals and the blowing of the trumpets.
Your New Year's resolution was to finish your bunker.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to get into that soon.
To set up my water purifying system.
I heard somebody described recently as like a little bit of a doomsday prepper. And I was just like, why not go all in? Halfway doomsday. It's going to come for all of us. Yeah. You're not going to be like, oh, I got half a bunker.
Yeah. If you really want to test your theology, are you a doomsday prepper? It tells you more about your theology than anything else.
Well, it also tells you like how you believe in just half measures. You're like, it's only going to come a little bit.
If you're really a strong rapture person, you better not be canning your yams. Like, that's not going to, those two things don't work together.
Canning your yams. I think that's the next in Left Behind, right? Yeah. It's like Left Behind 9 canning your yams. Wow. Wildly off topic already. Very excited. If this is just the vibe of 2024 on the podcast, I'm here for it. This is great.
Just hanging out. And talking
finally,
about things.
Finally, we can get to some fun here on the podcast. Very much looking forward to that. No, here talking about a brand new teaching series, kind of unlike anything we've really done here at Coastline. And so it really deserves, I think, definitely a specific episode where we're going to just overview it and talk about it. But I mostly, Sean, am excited to get a chance to chat with you before we start the series. We're calling it Surviving the South Bay. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that title, Surviving the South Bay. It's a beautiful place to live. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you don't think about surviving here. You think about enjoying your life here.
Right.
What is there to survive? Why is this the title of the series? And then maybe you can go a little bit behind the curtain and say, why this series now? It's the beginning mm-hmm. of the year. Is there something special about that? Mm-hmm. How does this fit into our core values? You know, just kind of pitch the series to us, but start with the title, Surviving the South Bay.
Sure. We actually, we've been talking about doing this series since June of this year. Like, we've had this on the calendar for a long time.
Of 2023.
Because
remember, it's 2024 now.
Yeah, you're right. It is. But we've been talking about this forever. And I think this is kind of the sequel to Open Table is the way I would describe it.
So for those who don't remember Open Table, our hospitality series.
Yeah, yeah. So I, over the past couple of years, I've ended up in just relationships with people who are new to the South Bay. They've moved into the area. Work has brought them here. They're kind of having an adventure, and they decide to relocate for a couple of years with their family. And what I've found is that talking to those people, they walk through the South Bay and they don't always understand it. They don't understand the culture or what's happening or the values that are kind of here. And they've had a hard time kind of breaking in. And that's, you know, strange for me because I've born and raised here. You know, this is what I know. This is home in every way. And this feels native and normal and natural and easy for me. But I've watched them have a hard time actually building community and making sense of the place that I live. And so I thought my first effort to kind of pastor our people towards that was Open Table, trying to get our people to be more hospitable, to open up their hearts and their lives to people and welcome them in. I think that was kind of how we started. But I think as time's gone by after that, I've come to realize that the issue isn't just cliquishness. It's not just a small community. It's not just that the South Bay functions sometimes like a small town. It's that actually, I think that there are some, I think I would say idols in our community. I think that there are probably some sins that exist in our community that are generational and established and strong and difficult for us to push against. And I think that that sometimes keeps us from thriving, even though we're in a place that's beautiful and wonderful. And gosh, I'm so happy to be here. But it's a more difficult place than we think, in part because of the beauty. And so the question was really for me, how can we become more aware of the culture that we're in, the idols that exist, the sins that are present, so that we can actually be free of them and maybe live a little bit more of the life that God intends us to have?
So I hear you saying that this is a super specific series to us, right? Like to our church. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into some of the specific sins as we continue talking, but I guess I want to understand, what would somebody who listens to us online say in like Texas? What are they going to glean from this? Like, what's the universality of the idea of like spiritual strongholds in an area?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll explain it this way. I was thinking about in the Old Testament, specifically in the early chapters of Genesis, we are introduced to two cities, Sodom and to Babel, right? These are two very different cities with two very different cultures, and also they are struggling in two very different ways. The sin that's prevalent in those cities is vastly different. For one of them, it's pride and aspirational to become like God themselves. And the other one, it's just sexuality. These are two cities that are near one another that exist at the same time, and yet they're going through two totally different things. If you go out further than that into the New Testament, the issues in Rome are different than the issues in Corinth. Issues in Corinth are different than the issues in Thessaloniki, and the issues in Thessaloniki are different than the issues in Ephesus. Every city has its own DNA, its own personality, its own culture, and as a result, I think it has its own kind of prevalent sins. And so this series is written for South Bay people. If you're listening in Texas, it's not that there's not going to be anything for you, but we're trying to pick and identify, and I would say even culturally exegete, this is our issues. These are the things that I see us struggling with. And I would tell you, wherever you're at, whatever city you're in, there's going to be some unique issues and sins that arise out of the culture that's there that are worth confronting or at least becoming aware of so that they don't suck you in.
So you said something interesting about culturally exegeting, and I want to get into that because I think that's an interesting term. Exegesis is the idea of like pulling meaning out of something.
Yeah, it's right? Like we talk about it with reading the scripture. Yeah. You know this, but we read the Bible and we try to understand the words that are written there, pull them out and apply them to our lives.
Yeah, so culturally exegeting, you don't normally hear like, oh, I'm going to exegete culture.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what that means, like as you practically understand it for your role as a pastor. Which is like, I mean, is the role of a pastor to culturally exegete different than the role of just a congregant or a normal Christian to just culturally exegete? Is your role different than theirs? And then what are some tools that you can think of or some strategies and tips that you can give people for them to, quote, culturally exegete in a thoughtful and effective way?
Sure. Well, I would say as a pastor, it's really easy to just teach the Bible. It's really easy to just read it and to pull out points. But if you're going to ever apply it to someone's life, you have to be able to understand the world that they live in and the shoes that they walk in, and then try to take that specific truth and apply it to their lives, help them to see how it applies, or to help them see that although they know that is true, they're not applying it to their lives and why. What is in the culture that keeps them from that? So as a pastor, this is something that we have to do. We have to get into the culture and understand it. I think it's hard to do. I think partly it's hard to do because we live in this water. We live in the culture that we're in, it just feels normal. I mean, the things that we might bring up in the South Bay that exist, it's what makes the South Bay the South Bay. It's what kind of shapes who we are. And so to point these things out, it just might feel normal to us. And so I think that's the challenge, is what feels normal to you might not mean that it's right. It's just the culture that you live in. And it might need to be confronted by the Lord. And we might need to kind of get it out of our heart and lives, because just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's good.
That's, I think that's a wonderful point. And I think that that is a really challenging point for people, especially people in the South Bay, because the image of this place is that it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And you've worked here for a long time as a pastor. When do people start to recognize in their journeys of living here, like, it's not maybe all that it's all cracked up to be?
That's a super good question. I want your thoughts on this too. My thought is that I've seen people become more aware of it when they have kids. Hmm. And there become unique pressures on their children that they don't want to see it. Maybe I think they kind of recognize for the first time that their kid is going through that, something that they went through and they hated, and they don't want it for them. And at the first time, they're starting to react against it. But I just wonder if, for me, that's, I first started seeing the unhealth of the South Bay culture as a youth pastor, and seeing the way that the culture affected kids. So maybe that's just my first point of reference.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I also think that for my generation, it's the financial piece of it. Okay. I mean, it's impossible to live here.
Yeah.
Just period. I'm so lucky to have the situation that I have, both with the apartment that Megan and I used to live in, and now the house we live in. It's all been people's generosity, and working at a church, you meet really generous people who make some things about life really, really easy. And I think that I have friends who've moved out of the South Bay and have experienced a lot more life and growth and flourishing because the financial pressure of living here has gone. And I think that in 2024 America, the buzzword is inflation and economy and stuff, but it's true. I mean, we're all feeling it in a unique way. And the South Bay is a place where that comes out in a unique way. I think it's just because it's so beautiful to live here, and we pay the price literally to live mm-hmm. here. When did you personally experience it? This experience of the South Bay, just because it's normal doesn't mean it's correct.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I think part of it I experienced just in ministry. This is just a little bit unique. I found that part of my job was to help people. Mm-hmm. To come alongside them and to walk with them through the difficult and the good in life, to help them see where the Lord is present and where he's moving, and to answer their doubts, to be there in moments of sickness and illness. And what I found is that people were not interested in that kind of a pastor. They wanted me to preach well and to lead a good church that they could be proud of attending, but they did not want me to actually pastor them. And that would be seen in either correcting and rebuking, you know, any sort of sin that's present in their life, to walk with them through any sort of weakness, to let them know your daughter is struggling with an eating disorder again, or your son is smoking weed, or your child is sexually active in really risky ways. They were not interested in a pastor walking in that with them. They wanted me to stay on the stage, and you'd frequently hear, "Thank you very much, Pastor. I'll take it from here." Hmm. And any sort of physical illness would be, "I'm doing fine. Thank you very much." And so there became a commitment to the external gloss and wanting to protect that at all costs, and ever letting anybody behind that was something that they weren't interested in. And I found that, if I could preach well, I was doing my job well for a large amount of time. So that just became surprising. It became when you come up in ministry and what you think your job's going to be and what it actually becomes, it was shocking to see what it meant to try to pastor in the South Bay. And to ever call out sin, it's not something that anybody wanted to hear. So that's where I first ran into it. Can you think about it for yourself?
No, I think that's a really good answer. I think for myself, I think about something my therapist said to me recently about, no one really cares if you show up and don't have it figured out. Mm-hmm. We believe that we need to be put together certainly before we come to God, but even before we come to our friends, our families, our partners, whatever, what have you. And so I think that I found in the South Bay living here, it's a culture that demands you to have it figured out. And I think I realized that it's a sham when I had significant struggles and I felt like I had nowhere to turn. And then the second I turned to my friends, they're like, oh yeah, me too. I just didn't feel like I could talk about it before.
Sure.
So that's struggles with like mental health and things like that. And I just found that once you just talk about it and you can break open the stigma of like, you don't have to have it figured out just because this place is beautiful and rich and awesome and all of those things are good. Mm-hmm. Doesn't, you know, just because this place is those things doesn't mean you have to be all of those things as well. And I think that's the unique thing about sin. And you see this in the Old Testament as well, of like sin having a proximity and sin having a memory, as our friend Lloyd Gilbert used to say, sin having a memory not only of person, but of place. Mm-hmm. And the South Bay, sin has memory. I mean, I think we'll probably get into a little bit of the history of the South Bay throughout the series, mm-hmm. but like this area has had its fair share of bad things that have happened here, and those things linger, those things remain. And I think that as 21st century Christians, we don't want to face that reality mm-hmm. because it is so beautiful. But like, there are things in the South Bay that have happened that the spiritual overhang is real. Yeah. And I think that it feels mystical to believe that, but it's very biblical to say like sin has a memory and sin has a proximity.
Yeah. And I think the South Bay functions sometimes like a small town in that it's not uncommon to have multiple generations living here in the South Bay still.
Yes.
Grandma's here. Our parents are here. We're here. Whatever it might
be. Yeah. I'm reflecting on the fact that I've gone to several Torrance High football games and like that's where you went to high school.
This is especially true for my life, which is like we're the fifth. I think it's five, maybe six generations here in Torrance. But that's true in the South Bay. It functions a little bit like a small town. And as a result, I think honor and shame exist a lot when you are in that kind of a setting. You don't want to embarrass grandma. You don't want to make your family's name look bad. And I think that gives sin special power when you are having to conceal because you need to represent so many people. And you are the face of that family.
And that's not a reason to like move away. Like, I don't want to disrespect my grandma, so I'm going to go move somewhere else.
No.
But it's a unique pressure that exists here for sure. It exists elsewhere as well, I'd say.
I think it's just part of the culture. It's,
yeah.
It's not true for everyone. I mean, certainly not everybody has five generations that are here, but
right.
It's enough of a thing in the South Bay where it shapes who we are, how we think, how we live.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this series is wise because it's asking us to just be thoughtful about that reality, mm-hmm. that this place shapes how we think and how we live and mm-hmm. how we act. I'm wondering, you know, what can the church, we've talked a lot about sin, so maybe that's the answer, but what can the church uniquely offer in helping people understand that? I think like therapy would be a good space for this. I just think like talking to your friends is also a good space for this. Talking to people who've lived here for a long time is a good space for this. But what can church specifically offer with a series or with an invitation for people to think about the ways that the area they've lived in has influenced them, whether it's positive or negative?
Yeah, well, part of it is just to acknowledge, I think, that whatever city you're coming from, you come from a certain culture, a certain place. You come from a culture that shaped who you are. I think the unique thing about the church is that it asks us to let the kingdom become our primary place of culture and of life.
Yeah.
And to let the place that we live become second. So that the values and the morals and the language and the community that we have are all shaped by the gospel and by Jesus Christ, in that we shape a kingdom within a city that then becomes our primary culture, so that we increasingly can allow that to define who we are and can live inside the South Bay, but in a sense, survive it. Mm-hmm. We can make it through it because we're no longer living or chasing the trophies or the prizes of that culture, but we're actually living within the kingdom, and that's giving a new meaning to our life.
And going back to the idea of cultural exegesis, you cannot culturally exegete well if you don't have that foundation that's eternal, right? Like, because culture is not eternal. Mm-hmm. The concept of culture has existed forever, but the messages and the things that the culture has for us, whether it is the South Bay or wherever you live, or like the movies you watch, the TV shows you watch, like these messages are not eternal. Mm-hmm. But the message of the kingdom is, right? We were just talking before we were recording about how being kingdom conversant is the only real way to combat the ideas of culture, because those change, but the kingdom doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really unique space for us to be in a church of, like, these specific sins that we struggle with. Like, the answer is the same. Mm-hmm. Like, the practical ways you live that out might be different, but, like, the answer is the same of, like, root yourself more in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And, like, you cannot do that apart from a church community, because we're all working that out together.
Yeah. And I think that what ends up happening is that we come to Christ, but we never actually take on the kingdom and live into the kingdom. And so we are culturally still South Bay people. Instead of kingdom people, we're like visitors in the kingdom, but it's not our primary residence. Right. And so we end up living like the world, but we don't end up, you know, really looking like being any sort of salt and any sort of light. I mean, not to go through like horror stories, but like, I still remember being the high school pastor and having students graduating and their parents who attended the church are paying for their plastic surgery before they go to college so that they can be the hottest version of themselves.
You don't have to talk about me like that.
That's no, I mean, just telling the story. I'm laughing at it because it's so crazy, right? That this is a person who we have been preaching to and speaking to and pastoring, but their allegiance never changed from the culture to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so their values and how they live in this world, it still looks more like the world than it does, because their values are just skewed.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. I think, have you ever heard of the Australian theologian Graham Goldsworthy?
No.
He's great. He has a book that I love. It's a real short book. I think actually I have two copies.
Can I have one?
Happy New Year. I'll give you a coffee. It's a book called The Gospel and Kingdom. He has like a series of books. He's a biblical theologian. We talked about biblical theology on the podcast, where it's the idea of looking for themes and things that can connect the whole story of Scripture. And he uses the theme of kingdom. And he breaks down kingdom as God's people in God's place under God's rule. Mm-hmm. And you can frame most of, if not all of, the major movements of Scripture under that. So you have like Eden, and you have Sinai, you have like the desert wandering. Obviously, I'm out of order chronologically. You have Israel. And then Jesus is the fulfillment of the kingdom, God's people, you know, in God's place. And the kingdom is now in your body under God's rule, which is, you know, the Shema that Jesus illustrates. And I think that when we keep that framework of the South Bay, what is the people, place, and rule of the South Bay? Like, who are the people? What is this place like? And what are the rules of the South Bay? Or like, what is the law of the South Bay? And then you contrast that with the kingdom, and where you find overlap, great, cultivate that. But where you find like disharmony,
conflict,
run towards the kingdom. And I think that's like the most practical thing I hear you saying. But for like that 17-year-old, 18-year-old who's getting plastic surgery, like, it's going to be a challenge, because the people, place, and the rule, it's like swimming in water. It's all we know. It's all we can experience, you know? And that's what's really challenging about a series like this. And are you nervous at all? Are you nervous about any pushback? Are you thinking like people are going to be mad? Are people going to start picketing?
No, I don't get nervous to preach this kind of stuff, honestly. Maybe it's my own pride, where it's, I'm just not afraid really of that kind of conflict. Like, if I feel like I'm standing on Scripture, then I'm really comfortable saying hard things. So no, I'm not afraid of picketing. I'm always afraid of just hurting people's feelings, because sometimes I worry that I could be too direct. That's what I worry about, hurting people's feelings because I'm too direct, not because I'm going to bring the gospel in a way that's hurtful.
So. Yeah. Well, that's good.
I doubt myself. I don't doubt the word.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I bet people are listening to this and are like, okay, at least he's feels confident taking us in this place. He's not like, I'm nervous. And like, no. Well, I wouldn't listen to that then. That's not a sermon I want to hear. That's not a series I want to engage
even
with.
Even like the hardest sermon, if I know that I've done the biblical work, then I'm really comfortable preaching.
Speaking of the biblical work, we've kind of skirted around some of these specific sins, specific strongholds is the language we're using. Let's talk a little bit about them and what people can expect. And maybe you can just kind of explain a little bit of what you think and maybe how you see this in the South Bay. So the first real one we're going to address is pride.
Yeah.
Pride is probably the biggest sin any of us ever struggle with. How do you uniquely see this in the South Bay? And then maybe spoil a little bit, what is the pastoral call in the end of this sermon?
Well, I think we are very proud of where we live. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, gosh, I love it so much that we live here. I marvel at it all the time. But I do think that with that pride comes a little bit of, we've worked hard to be here. We've worked hard to live here. It's not an easy place to live due to the price. And I think that as a result, there can be a little bit of, are you from here? Do you belong here? Are you from this place? And there could be a judgment towards those on the outside versus those who are on the inside. And I think that is something that's worth exploring.
Interesting. As a pastor, what do you do when someone is prideful about living in the South Bay? Like, I'm sure that comes up a lot. Like, maybe you're looking to host an event somewhere at a house. Like, no, come to my, like, look at where I live. Like, do you lean into that and say, yeah, you live in a great place, we want to use your house? Or do you push against that? Or do you walk away from that?
Well, what I think, it's not so much that. I think it's helping people see that something that's a good thing can sometimes very easily become a bad thing.
Yeah, idol.
You know, and just like a silly example would be like, there's places in the South Bay that you would tell people not to go because not South Bay people are there.
Right.
You know, the Galleria maybe would be one of them. You know, I think of like the Redondo Beach Pier. And when we say that, they're not really from here. What are we really saying?
Yeah.
There's good. Something behind that that's we should probably face and look at, you know, and we could increasingly move away from people who aren't from here to be more with people who are from here.
Yeah, that's good. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to be talking about pleasure.
Yeah.
Not necessarily seen as a sin, I would say. Like, I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, that was a great ice cream cone.
Well, I do think that the people in the South, they have a lot of resource.
Yeah.
You know, it's Mammoth in the winter and then water skiing and then surfing and then Hawaii. And then we can easily, because of resource, we can just go from thing to thing to thing to beach life, from beach life to our e-bike and from our e-bike to our sprinter van and from our sprinter van to, you know, our Icon Pass, like we can just keep going. And I think part of that is we can be a little bit undisciplined in terms of actually considering what's important and numbing it with just the next thing.
Yeah.
The next thing to buy, the next thing to do, the next place to go. And I think that's an idol that can become a sin.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be the common theme of like fine until it crosses over into being an idol. Pleasure in the South Bay, you kind of mentioned like some of the bigger ones like beach life or whatever. What are some of the more micro ones that you'd see some people struggling with? Like someone like me who's not going to beach life and I don't have a sprinter van and I'm not going to Mammoth or Hawaii or anything, but like I could still see pleasure being something in my life that I could make an idol.
Yeah. I do think that it's just simply the busyness as well. And this will come up in the last week, but we're a city that doesn't sit still, really. There's something every day, a place to go, something to do. And even if you're not spending money on the big things, can you actually handle being bored? Or is that something that you actually can't handle it?
That's great.
You can't be bored because you got to go on to the next thing that's going to give you that little hit of pleasure.
Yeah, I think, especially as we talk about youth, being bored is, it's a foreign idea.
Yeah.
Like when was the last time you were bored? You didn't have everything at your fingertips.
And as a result, you just never rest.
Yeah.
I mean, people just never rest. It's just constant burnout.
That's good. That's really good. And so the next week will be appearances.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that already with the plastic surgery.
Keep it shiny and glittery on the outside. Don't let anybody know what's really happening. That's I think one of the most common things in the South Bay.
Yeah. I think it's an epidemic. I think that you see it a lot in every generation of just, you have to present as beautiful as where you are. And the second you don't, it all falls apart, but people generally will be there with you in that. And I think that's a really unique space for the church to just come and say, it's okay. Like, it's okay that you don't have it all figured out. It's okay that you're not as put together as the place we live. Like that's a lie. You know, you can be as broken as you want or as broken as you are. And you know, there's still love and community for you in that. In the South Bay as the message, I mean, that might not be a message that the South Bay gives. Like you can be broken and still be here.
Yeah. If you are broken, then you are pitied.
Yeah.
In the South Bay.
Wow. That'd be interesting to kind of flesh out. And I think,
and the thing is, honestly, having been behind the doors of some of the most beautiful homes and the wealthiest people in the South Bay, everybody's a mess.
Yeah.
Everybody's
a
mess.
Yeah.
And everybody's pretending that they somehow have it together.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that could happen is if your stuff is actually known.
Yeah. And you know, Matt Chandler, the pastor, said, in one sermon once, if God loves you, he'll expose you. And I hate that, but it's true. You know, why would you want to keep living in that? And because you think it's your secrets and what you're holding on to is more important than really living a full and flourishing life.
That's Ray Ortland.
That's convicting.
Ray Ortland says, you can be impressive or you can be known.
I don't want to talk about that.
That's good. Right?
The next week, I'm not ready to go there quite yet. Because woof, it's a good quote. I think the next week's probably gonna be the most controversial.
Family.
Yeah, because we're a fully family church, Sean.
Dude, and that one will probably be a challenge. I do think that we make our children idols.
Wow.
And I think that we, in a way, can live for their success and happiness and pleasure and their opportunities. And that they have everything that they possibly could ever want or need. They become the center of the family. And I think that at times sets up families to not thrive, but to struggle.
Wow.
I know.
That's tough. I mean, I just know every parent would hear you and be like, well, I think that's the one thing I can idolize.
No, it's not.
Like, that's the one thing that's, I get a pass for that.
Don't worry, church. I've got a chapter and verse for this one. There's a Bible story that I can show you.
He's
just
confident.
Why I think it's real.
He's confident. Yeah. He's not nervous about that one.
I'm not going to hurt your feelings.
I'd be nervous about that one. You
really?
Idolize your kids too much.
Oh, dude. I mean, I would think this would be your wheelhouse. Well, you certainly.
I'm scared.
Have seen kids who you thought you have been disciplined too little and you've been pampered too much.
Yeah, I think that I wouldn't frame that as idolizing your children. I think I'd frame that as not really knowing what's best for your child.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can understand either way. I will just say, though, like when I read that, I was like,
yeah,
you snapped, Hurley. You snapped. That's crazy.
You know, we talked about this, Hunter, the parent who's the peer of the child.
Yes.
You know, it's your cool dad.
Yeah.
You're cool, mom. What are you talking about?
Like in Mean Girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's tight. That's good. I love a good Mean Girls reference. And then finally, last week, idolatry. And I feel like it's all been idolatry. So what makes this week specifically different?
That one is really asking the question, does anything ever get our whole heart in the South Bay? Or does everything get a little bit of it?
It's a good ending.
Everything gets a little bit of our attention. And what would it mean if we actually gave the Lord our whole heart?
So what's your hope for this series? Like, what do you hope someone comes and engages with all of it and then they say
1,000 baptisms, full pews, hands raised, offering increases.
Sean, it sounds like you're idolizing an appearance.
You know what? I hope it's the end result of this is wisdom.
Hmm.
That our people become wise about the trappings of the South Bay. Even more than that, I believe that Satan is working and active in this community. And I think he's incredibly successful in this community. And that's the irony of it, right? Like in a place that is so beautiful, where it's such a good place that we would think that the sign of satanic activity is depression, drugs,
or even
violence,
like satanic rituals, right?
Whatever it might be that, you know, that it would be awful. But what if he's actually in all of the privilege and blessings and success as much as he is in the crisis?
That's Screwtape Letters 101. You know, the idea that Satan is crafting a plan.
Yeah.
And it has to do with where you live. Mm-hmm. Like he's using this.
Mm-hmm.
He's using your pride or your love of your family, which I'm still kind of struggling with on my own end. Your view of money and success. He's going to use those things that seem good to lead you down a path that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels innocuous, but it really is insidious.
Yeah.
And I think that's a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't tell where Satan is actively tempting you, in your life, if you can't see where it is, then he's doing an incredible job right now. You are in such a worse spot than you think.
Oof, that is spooky, spooky, spooky. Well, this is going to be, I think, a really interesting sermon series. I think we'll look back at the end of it and be like, well, that happened.
We're going to have to talk about the family series afterwards because I think it's a slam dunking and you're a little bit nervous. And so now I want to talk about.
So I never can go to church.
Did we do it?
I can never go to, I have junior high like every week. Yeah. And so I can never come to church, but I maybe we'll loop back and listen to that one. And
sure.
we should bring
the kids in.
Yes.
When we tell them, parents, you're treating your kids too well.
It would be like Abraham and Isaac. It'd be like them watching you getting ready to sacrifice them. They're like, what? Where's the sermon? Like, you're the sermon.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. All of you kids have too much.
Yeah. Like, where's the object lesson? You are the object lesson.
That's great.
Surely God will provide you.
Yeah, that's so
you
good.
Little seventh grader. Yeah. Well, what's really cool about this sermon series is when you first pitched it, my brain immediately went to the idea that just as the South Bay and Coastline, it's a really unique relationship. Every church in the South Bay has a unique relationship with the South Bay, whether it's a new church, mm-hmm. an old church, a big church, a small church. And so with this podcast series, as we keep it in tandem with the sermon series, I had an idea that I pitched to you. You loved it. And it was just like,
I do love it.
God opening doors in a way that's really crazy. So for the next 6 weeks, I think 5 or 6 weeks, it will not be anybody from Coastline besides me on the podcast. I will be interviewing different pastors from different churches in the South Bay. So the hope here, there's several hopes. One of them is just you can be sitting in the wisdom of some other really smart people we really, really like and respect.
Pastored by really good pastors.
Yeah. And two, I really want the spirit of like ecumenical unity to really be seen. We're all on the same team. Our people are their people, you know, and it's the idea that the South Bay is big and wide and like they're experiencing these things just like you are. And we want to be able to provide you with wisdom and see that their wisdom is going to be really helpful for you. And ultimately, I just wanted different pastors to have a voice. And I'm really excited about that. Yeah, there's sirens passing by. We're recording this in Sean's office.
Welcome to working in my office. Yeah, sirens all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. But yeah, the hope would just be that like we can see that while the South Bay is different, while churches are handling this in different ways, different sins in different ways, like we're all on the same team. And so I'm really excited. Over the next 6 weeks, you're going to hear from pastors from the River Church of South Bay, Calvary Chapel, Palos Verdes, Kings Harbor, Journey of Faith, Remembrance Community Church. I think that's it. But that's a solid five.
And again, these are people who we've had longstanding relationships with and who, especially since we started Coastline, these are people who have been friends and people prayed for us and given us their wisdom. And man, I feel really lucky to kind of stand amidst this kind of group of pastors and to serve alongside of them. I am so grateful for you to get the chance to hear them. I think it's going to be so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool because I started scheduling all of these and like every single person just said yes. And it was like, oh yeah, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And I told some people, I was like, I really want you to be, I mean, I told them all, like, we really want you to be in it. And like every person I said that to was just like, oh yeah, this is great. And then I sent them the outline. They're like, this is exactly what I would want to talk about. Like, this is perfect. Just like, dude, this is awesome. I'm so psyched. So you're going to be hearing from some really smart people. And every single episode, I'm going to end in this series with
we'll
something.
See you next week and no, every week thereafter. No,
with that's not something it. We're calling the locals only.
I forgot about it.
The locals only lightning round.
We're doing this.
It's 11 questions that I'm going to ask every single person that is coming on the podcast in the next 5 or 6 weeks. And Sean, you are on the podcast right now. You are a pastor in the South Bay. This certainly applies to you. And so I would love these to be kind of free association, but if you need to take your time, take your time.
Got it.
There are 11 questions. The stakes are relatively low.
Okay. I feel a lot of pressure.
I know. You've been nervous about this.
I have been. I know that you're going to ask me a question and tonight I'm going to go, I answered it wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So the locals only lightning round. Sean Hurley, are you ready?
I think so.
All right. Question number one, what is your favorite South Bay restaurant and what is your go-to order there?
Eat at Joe's, John Wayne special.
Okay. What is the best cup of coffee in the South Bay?
Anything that's hot and black. I don't have the palate for it. Pete's Major Dickinson's.
That's the one in our Keurig over there.
Any one of them.
Okay. Number three, where's the best breakfast burrito in the South Bay?
I'm going with Tigre Fuego. And which is
Barron's,
which serves Barron's breakfast burrito. Yeah.
Which I think just read is the best in the country. Like, yeah, I think it just got named that
insane.
And it is because it's
the best one.
Spectacular. All right.
It's also the most expensive one.
Yeah. It's very expensive.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
$15.
I mean, hey, we'll talk about that, I guess, sure, at some point in the sermon series. So three questions in. Are you feeling okay so far?
I haven't regretted an answer yet.
Yeah. Okay. Number four, what local landmark or spot triggers the fondest memories for you and why?
I would say Burnout Beach. That spot, I just grew up surfing there. It means the most to me. It truly is home for me in so many ways.
Nice. Number five, share a lesser known restaurant or spot in the South Bay.
Okay. You know, I'd say Local Kitchen in Torrance is a solid one.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people travel to downtown Torrance, but it's a good vibe.
Generous calling it downtown Torrance.
It is in downtown
Torrance.
Old Torrance. Well, I would tell you, don't be afraid to travel near the refinery and across the railroad tracks. It's a good little spot.
Local Kitchen's good. We went there recently. We really liked it.
The tots.
All right.
Tater tots are good.
Yeah, no question. Number six, what is one thing that you think the South Bay needs? Anything from a particular restaurant or store all the way to an ideological change?
Can we get some better sushi in the South Bay?
Whoa.
I don't think there's a good spot that I can get
Shots
excited
fired.
About. I'm always looking for the better sushi spot. I can't find it. Don't know what it is.
Flying Fin in Redondo is usually my go-to. I really like Flying Fin.
Yeah, it was Haru Sushi for me over in Esmart, and they closed. And I don't know. I want a better sushi
Have
spot.
Have you been to Flying Fin in Redondo?
I want it, but I want cheap, too. I want good, cheap sushi.
Okay, I've said Flying Fin about six times, and you still haven't listened to me. Number seven, what is your go-to spot to watch the sunset?
The Cove, Paddleboard Cove, down on the rocks on a low tide with a cooler with all my friends and some longboards and surfing, praising God, talking to my children about how good he is, that he loves us.
Listeners, you can't see this, but Sean's foaming at the mouth currently.
And really, this is the season for it.
He's currently foaming at the mouth. 2024, the season for it. Question number eight, what local event or festival do you look forward to the most and what makes it special?
4th of July in Catalina.
4th of July in Catalina. Yeah. Interesting.
Is that not really South Bay, but it's
still 3-1-0.
Close. That's it, man.
Still 3-1-0.
I love Catalina on the 4th of July.
Give me one on this side of the Pacific.
This side of the Pacific. Melinda and I got engaged down in the Christmas lights in Sleepy Hollow. Yeah, I love it down there.
That's nice.
On the corner with the big white house.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a really good answer.
That's it.
Number nine, if you moved away and you were only able to revisit the South Bay for just one day, what is one thing you would absolutely have to do?
I want to surf. I want to surf and I want my friends there. And I want to have a good time doing that.
So it's like a group message, like, hey, I'm in town for an afternoon. We're surfing.
Yes.
I don't care how big it is.
Uh-huh. Nice. I want to do that. Yeah. Or how small it is.
Yeah.
Let's go surf would be it.
That's awesome.
That'd pump me up.
Well, maybe this will influence your next answer. Question number 10. Describe the South Bay in three words.
Diverse. Man, there's so many different communities.
That's like 10 words.
It's diverse. It's really beautiful. It's
diverse, beautiful.
Diverse, beautiful. And it's home.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's home.
Diverse, beautiful home. Finally, question 11. What is your prayer request for the South Bay? What is your hope?
Byron used to always pray this prayer that there'd be a movement of God that would happen that would be unexplainable outside of the gospel. I mean, that God would do something in the South Bay so big that people could only say that it was God who did it. And that's always stuck with me as being something that I would love to see. Just that this community God would move again. And the fun thing is, I've seen him do that a couple times, I think, over the course of my life, where a movement happens in the South Bay that just revitalizes it in a way. And my prayer is that God does that again. I think in the past, it was like God would use our church to do it. I think my prayer right now is that God would use all of these churches to do it.
Great answer. Yeah. And I think that this is the sermon series.
Yeah, it kind of is,
podcast,
right?
To get it started. So that's great. Not so bad. You've passed the lightning round.
Yeah. I wonder if I'm going to go home and go, you should have mentioned the Rex as being a great place to eat, because the Rex is the single best meal in the South Bay.
I am really excited to be hosting the podcast in this season, because I doubt I'll be asked these questions, because as I came up with them, I'm stressed.
For the last one of these, we should turn it on you and make you answer it.
Who's the last one? I don't know who the last one is, but yeah, maybe we can, my hope, and you know, this is a little inside baseball. My hope is, as the series progresses on Sundays, kind of walk around with a microphone and start asking some congregants this.
Yeah, good.
See what some of the more common places are.
You are an idea machine, Hunter.
Thank you.
Do anything.
And that's why 2024, I'm calling it the year of ideas.
That's what you're calling it.
That's what I'm calling. I just decided right now. That's an idea I had. Well, surviving the South Bay, one of the more unique things we've ever done, but it's coastline. What do you expect?
Yeah.
We're going to try it. We're going to go for it. And I think it's going to be great.
Fully family for all but one week out of the year.
Fully family, unless you're idolizing your family. Yeah. And then, no.
Then it's a unique sin that you have to repent of.
I'm just trying to assume the role of the person who heard you say, we're going to talk about how you idolize your family, and then turned it off. Like, I'm trying to be like, no, keep listening. I think he means this, but I don't want you to misunderstand.
Yeah, we could, well, what's the day? February 4th.
See you then.
Come on.
See this February 4th.
You get struck by lightning on stage. Trap door opens up
or your
underneath.
Family excommunicates
dodging tomatoes,
you.
Heads of lettuce being thrown from the crowd.
Because sometimes, and this is so off topic, but when you preach, you get in a groove and you can say something, and you like in your head, you see that joke or that point, you know it's going to land, and it's not the one that's written down, and thus it's usually the wrong one.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the it's not the best one to use. You're going to say something on that weekend where you're like, yeah, I spent so many times at stupid plays, and Piper will never forgive you.
Oh, there'll be a moment where people just go.
No, it's going to be your family.
Grown.
Your family's going, why?
They always groan now. They're of the age of groaning at my sermons.
But in a sermon about idolizing family, if you roast your family, it really hurts. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I know.
How do you bounce back from that?
My kids are getting older. I got to use up their stories now.
Oh, man. That's funny. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you next week. Sean
and
will.
Every week thereafter.
But you know who we will see next week is Pastor Bill McPhee from The River, which is very, very exciting. Thanks for listening. Happy 2024. And we will see you next week and every single week thereafter.